Praise God, praise God. You may be seated if you can in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 17. Romans 5, 17, the Bible said, if you could give me the New King James Version, thank you. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive an abundance of grace. Come on, say, I receive an abundance of grace. Much more those who receive an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Today I want to begin a series called The Grace of God. The Grace of God. I'm only going to begin today. I'm not going to finish. I'm only going to start it. Amen. So I'm expecting you to come back because I really feel that God wants us to focus on grace. It says, if by one man's offense, meaning Adam, death reigned through the one Adam, much more those who receive an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So today I want to speak with you about the grace of God, and we see from the word of God that in order for us to reign as kings in life, we need an abundance of grace and we need the gift of righteousness. Amen? Now we know that when we became saved, we became righteous. When we became born again, we were born again righteous. For Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen? Come on, say, I am in Christ. I am in him. So if you are in him, you are righteous. So what we need now is an abundance of grace. An abundance of grace. And you know, one of the reasons why Jesus did all things well is because he was full of grace. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace. And in order for us to reign like Jesus reigned, we need an abundance of grace. Amen, somebody. We see that Paul the Apostle reigned in life, and he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So everyone who ever reigned in life, when I say reign in life, we are supposed to be kings and priests unto God. The Bible says you're a holy priesthood, you're a royal nation, you are a peculiar people whom God has called out of darkness into light. And so I want you to look at your neighbor and say, hello, hello, king. I don't know, he said you're going to be kings. So that means even the ladies, I don't know, the Bible didn't call you queen, but you're kings and priests unto God. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, king and priest. Come on now. Come on, king and priest. We are kings and priests. Amen, somebody. I said we're a holy priesthood, we're a royal nation, and we're a peculiar people. That's what the Bible says you are. You may not realize that you're royalty, but according to the word of God, you're royal. Come on, somebody. You have royal blood running in your vein. Amen. Or in your veins, rather. So, the first thing I want to talk about is I want to define the term grace. And like as I said, this is only the beginning today. I'm not going to finish. But I want to define the word grace. Grace. And grace is an acronym for God's riches at Christ's expense. G, God's, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. But I could define grace another way. Grace is the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. Favor. Come on, everybody say favor. Favor. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. Amen, somebody. Favor. Grace. The grace of God is the favor of God. Amen. Come on, let's say that. The grace of God is the favor of God. Grace is doing through God with ease what we could never accomplish in our own strength with any amount of struggle. Can I say that one more time? Grace is doing through God with ease what we could never accomplish in our own ability with any amount of struggle. And can I give you the last definition? Grace is an anointing. Come on, let's say that. Grace is an anointing. Let's look at Zechariah 12 and the verse 10. We're moving very fast. Zechariah 12 and the verse 10. God said, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. Come on, let's say that, the spirit of grace. Do you know the Holy Spirit is called the spirit of grace? This grace is an anointing, and grace comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody. All right? So I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to begin to speak with you about seven ways that we can tap into the grace of God. Seven ways that we can receive grace. And number one, we can receive grace through prayer. Come on, everybody say prayer. Prayer. We can receive grace through prayer. And that's why the more you praise, the more grace you'll receive. Amen, somebody. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 16. We see that we receive grace through what? Prayer. Come on, let's say that. Grace through prayer. I need to hear you say prayer. Let's read this together. Let us therefore come boldly to where? To the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So when we come to the place of prayer is called the throne of grace. That's where grace reigns. I said that's where grace reigns. Grace reigns at the throne of grace. And if we're going to reign in life, we need to go boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? We can go with confidence knowing that God will release grace to us. Amen? So tell your neighbor, we receive grace through prayer. Come on. We receive grace through prayer. How else can we receive grace? We receive grace. We can tap into the grace of God through giving. Come on, say giving. Sowing and reaping. Sowing can cause us to tap into the grace of God. Let's look at Ephesians 1 and the verse 1. I'm sorry, Philippians 1, 1. Philippians, let's read together. Let's read with me very quickly so we can get it done very fast. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I want to hear you. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you. Come on, look at your name and say grace to you. Grace. You know you can receive grace just like that. Just like somebody saying grace to you. Come on, look at somebody and say grace to you. Grace. Now when someone says grace to you, they're wishing you all everything good will happen to you. Amen, somebody. Grace to you and what? Peace from who? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know grace and peace comes from God and Jesus. Amen. Keep going. And then he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just, come on, tell your neighbor, everything God starts, he finishes. Amen. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, look at this, brethren, let's look at this closely, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Let's read this last line together. You all are what? Partakers with me of grace. As a matter of fact, I prefer to read it from the King James, this particular scripture. Because in the King James, Paul said, you're all partakers of my grace. In other words, they tapped into the grace that was on Paul's life. And they received the same grace that God placed on Paul. The same grace that caused him to see visions and revelations. Amen, somebody. The same grace that caused him to write 2/3 of the New Testament by revelation. The same grace that caused Paul to raise the dead. The same grace that caused Paul to heal the sick. The same grace that caused Paul to get bit by a venomous serpent and nothing happened to him. Amen, somebody. they receive the grace. They became partakers of the grace, the same grace that caused Apostle Paul to turn the world upside down with the gospel. They became partakers of that grace.